Last week, we kicked off a brand new message series that we entitled Escape. And someone said we spelled it wrong, as you look on the screen or on the board up here. And we did that on purpose because sometimes escaping can seem complicated. That is something we can't quite figure out, because if we could always figure out, then we'd always be free, right? But we're always find ourselves trapped with different things, cares of this life, things that control us, things that we feel like we can't get out of. See, for this next few months, this next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the different things we get trapped in, how we get stuck, how we get chained up, and it could be relationship issues, it could be financial pressure, substance abuse, hopelessness in life. Today, we're asking the question, can we really escape the chains of unforgiveness? Can we really escape the chains of unforgiveness? I'd like for you to turn your Bibles today to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to be reading today out of the New Living Translation, NLT. You can look it up in your Bible, or you can look it up on your phone, pull up the Bible app, and up at the top, there'll be three letters that show what kind of version you're looking at. You're looking for the version that says NLT on it. Matthew chapter 18. When you came in today, you should have received a bulletin, and inside your bulletin, there is some message notes where you can follow along with today's message. There's fill in the blanks, and the answers are going to be on the screen, so you can follow along with that. If you did not receive a bulletin when you came in today, if you want to raise your hand right now, somebody will bring a bulletin to you. Matthew chapter 18, we're reading starting in verse 21. It says this, "Then Peter came to him," Jesus, "and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. Let's pray. God, I pray that for the next few moments that you would be with us as we unpack your word on this topic of forgiveness and unforgiveness. God, I pray that you would speak to both our hearts and our minds. Help us to grow in you today, to be challenged and to be changed. In Jesus' name we all said, amen, amen. We introduced this concept of escape rooms last week. And escape room is simply this, is that it's this idea that you're locked up in a room and you got to figure out a way to get out. And it's not as obvious as just opening the door, that there are puzzles, there are locks, there are keys that are hidden, there are clues, things that you have to figure out. And as we explore history, we saw that the very first escape room was most likely when they locked Jesus' body in the tomb. They wanted to make sure that no one could cheat, that he wasn't going to slip out, because the guy claimed that after 3 days, he would come back alive and he would leave. And because they were afraid of what could happen or that there could be a scandal or something, they locked the tomb, they sealed it up, they put guards on it, made it impossible for man to do anything, and totally set up a situation where God could do something. And because Jesus escaped that escape room, the tomb, and came to life through the power of God, it is possible for us to escape the things that entrap us. If Jesus escaped, it's possible for us to escape. Today we see Peter is asking about forgiveness. He's asking about forgiveness. And in this passage, we can tell that Peter is frustrated. Now, if you're a parent, you have special hearing. Sometimes we wish we could turn it off. But the hearing goes something like this, that you can hear in a far-off room that there's a commotion amongst the small people. And the commotion is getting louder. And you start hearing names being yelled out. Something like, Riley, stop that! Regan, stop that! And obviously it's still going on because they keep on yelling out. And the longer we take to go see what's going on and become the referee, the louder it gets. It's just kind of how it works. I'll tell mom and dad come over and figure out what's going on and try to So blow the whistle, time out, everyone goes to their corners, who said what, he said what. But, you know, it's funny how kids are trained on how to get mom and dad involved without actually going and getting mom and dad. They've got the tools, they've got what it needs, and it always seems to happen the same way. And I've often thought, what if we as adults acted the same way when somebody did something to us? I watched a video on Facebook this week, and you might have seen it as well, but it was a comedy skit put together that says, what if everyone left a room or a party like they leave Facebook? That they make a big noise and they say, hey, I just want everyone to know I'm leaving this room. And I think you guys just are nobodies and you don't know what you're talking about. And they're throwing a whole fit, but they do it on Facebook all the time when they're leaving, making a big announcement, when if we were just really leaving this room, we just leave the room. But if we acted like kids when somebody did something wrong to us, we'd be yelling louder and louder, waiting for somebody to get involved because somebody wronged me. We need somebody to be the referee, somebody to see our side of the story and see that we were right, they were wrong, punish them, reward us. That's what we want. And here's what we have happening with Peter. Somebody obviously is messing with him. Somebody obviously is doing something wrong to him. And he's trying to be the good Jesus follower dude, and he's saying, okay, when the guy says sorry to me, I'm forgiving him because that's what I'm supposed to do. But it's starting to get old because the guy keeps on doing it. And it's now reached like 7 times. And obviously, if he keeps on doing it, then he must have never meant he was sorry, right? So why should I forgive him? So we have Peter raising his voice, calling attention, saying, Jesus, come be the referee over here. How often should I forgive somebody? Because this is getting a little old. Is it 7 times? You see, Peter, he was asking this question, and he was expecting to be justified in his desire to not forgive. He felt that because the occurrence was still happening, because he was constantly put in a situation where the person was asking for his forgiveness, then obviously the person doesn't mean it when they say, I'm sorry. And they wanted something. He wanted justification to no longer forgive whoever this was. You know, if we really think about it, I think we could all relate to Peter. That everybody has somebody who's that habitual somebody who's saying sorry to you. Someone who's offending you or doing something wrong or breaking their promise or whatever it is, but they constantly put you in a position where you're supposed to say, I forgive you. I mean, at what point does the I forgive you don't matter anymore too? I have kids who are blessed with lots of opportunities to have their nose in a screen. And we're trying to be good parents, and we're trying to control how much time that a screen is in front of their face. And we thought we'd get smart, and we looked at some of the new controls that Microsoft offers where you can say you can only have screen time between these hours of this day, and then we found there's another level you can stick on top of that where you can say you can only have 2 hours of screen time. And we're like, yes, we're good parents for putting this in place. And what do our kids do? They maximize that time, or as soon as they get home from school, bam, they're in those screens, and we're like, whoa, wait a second. We still have some of the same problems going on of they're not coming home and doing their homework first, and they're not coming home and doing their chores first, and then go play. So this whole control of screen time wasn't working. So we said, okay, we'll be smarter. And we found out that what we could do is just deny all their time and see how they like it when they come home and go to get on their Xbox or go to get on their computer and say, sorry, you need permission from mom and dad. It wasn't long the next day when they came to us saying, there's something wrong with my system. We got their attention. Because we finally put a stop to it. And we said, you're supposed to do your chores first, and then you can ask for time. And so we've been doing that, and you know what? It's working a lot better. That is, until this week. Because it's Saturday, and we have some things we need to do first, and I'm like, you guys can play all day today. I'll give you permission to play all day today. But we've got to clean house today. This is our day to clean the house. So we're just going to spend an hour or so cleaning the house, everybody working together, and then you can have all the playtime you want. Sounds reasonable, right? I mean, any parents say, yeah, that's good. If we just put an hour in, awesome. 30 minutes later, there's not a kid to be found. And I'm wondering, what happened? Because I have control on my phone of every device they have. And they haven't requested anything, and I haven't given permission to anything, so where are they hiding? And worse for a parent is they're not making a sound. Where are they? I begin looking around the house for them, and I find them in the farthest bedroom, in the farthest part of the basement. And all five children are huddled up on a bed where they found one TV hooked up to a Roku where they have unlimited access to Netflix. Proof that when there's a will, there's a way. You see, the point is that no matter what we do in life, it is in our nature to mess up. You're going to mess up. And those around you are going to mess up. You're going to be faced on a constant basis with a situation where you need forgiveness or somebody needs your forgiveness. It's just how life is going to go. No matter how you try to box it in, no matter how you try to corral it or control it, it's going to find a way. You're going to be faced with this concept of, should I give someone forgiveness? Should I receive forgiveness? Should I ask for forgiveness? Peter wanted to know if seven times was way too many times to forgive someone for the same thing over and over. He asked him a simple question. He just wanted a yes or no, and he really thought the question's answer was going to be yes. And how did Jesus respond? He gave him a math problem. That's how we want all our answers from God, math problems, right? Instead, he finds out that there is no limit to how many times he must forgive. Now, he gave the math problem that it was 70 times 7, and any math wizard out there can tell me how many times that is? 490, that's right, 490 times. 490 times is a lot of times to give your forgiveness for the same thing over and over. But I believe that Jesus was making a point. He's saying, you just keep on forgiving them. And this doesn't make sense. And actually, Jesus' response to Peter, I find kind of disturbing, and maybe you would too, because we're just supposed to say, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you, like we're some sort of vending machine that you can just keep on messing up, and I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you, this is getting old, and this doesn't make sense. You see, when we have been offended, when some wrong has been done to us or against us, we now hold the power. We're now in a position where the other person should say, I'm sorry, will you please forgive me? And then we get to control just how long they get to remain in the state of unforgiveness. We get to be the judge deciding, well, are they really sorry? Well, do they really deserve forgiveness? Do they really mean it this time? And we like holding on to that power. We take that responsibility very seriously. And sometimes we make the decision saying, you know what? Not this time. I don't think you deserve it. You see, we really want them to be sorry. We really want them to change. But you know what? We've been down this block a time or two. We know how this cycle goes, and it just goes over and over. And so we say, you know what? I'm just not going to be hurt by this person ever again. I'm going to show them I'm just not going to forgive them. It doesn't matter how sorry they are. They're just living in unforgiveness land. And we hold on to that. And here, Jesus is telling Peter that there is no limit to how many times we should forgive. But we want to take that chain of unforgiveness and we want to wrap it around that person and around their neck and say, ha, I got you. You are not in charge anymore. I'm in charge. And unless I let you go, you're not free. Let's flip it around. Because we said it's our human nature that you're going to face a situation where you've got to offer someone forgiveness, but you're also going to be in a situation where you need somebody's forgiveness. And somebody could be holding it over your head and they're wrapping the chain around you and they will not free you. They will not forgive you and you've said, I'm sorry, 10 different ways and they just will not let you go. That might be you. Or maybe you're in the third camp and you've done something wrong against somebody. You've asked for forgiveness. You've received forgiveness from this person. But the guilt and the shame of what you did haunts you. And you can't bring it, you can't even get to the point where you can forgive yourself for what you did. And it's like you take that chain that has been released off of you by the person you offended, and you take it and say, you know what, I deserve this, and you put it back around your neck and say, and you wrap yourself in it like it's a blanket or a robe and saying, but this is what I deserve. I deserve to not be forgiven. And it's like a chain, and it locks us. But that day, Jesus was trying to make a point. He was trying to say, you guys have forgiveness all wrong. And the way he does it is he tells a story. He says, let me tell you a story, Peter. Everyone gather around. It's story time with Jesus. And he told a story that went something like this. He said, there once was a king, and he had somebody brought in before him, and this person owed him millions of dollars. And he said, you know what? You owe me millions of dollars. You are past due. You need to pay up right now. Can you pay? And the guy is groveling on his knees and says, sir, I can't pay. I don't have the money. I need more time. Will you have mercy on me? Will you please help me? Will you give me more time? The king says, I don't think you deserve more time. You know, I'm going to sell all your possessions. I'm going to throw you in jail. I'm going to sell your wife and kids as slaves. You know what? You're going to stay there till you have paid off your debt because that's what you deserve. And the guy pleads further and says, please, please, master, please have mercy on me. Give me more time. And Jesus describes that this king, as he looked at this person, that grace and mercy filled his eyes. And he said, you know what? I'm not just going to give you more time. I'm going to just say, let's just rip it up. You don't owe it anymore. Now, how do you think that person just felt? Who's groveling, who was about to be thrown in jail, have all his possessions sold, to have his family sold into slavery, to pay a debt that he could not pay. He was just forgiven everything. He didn't owe a dime. Talk about freedom. True freedom. The guy went off. Yes, this is awesome. Wow, I can't believe it. What a miracle. And he goes about his business. And then he runs into a guy who has borrowed a few thousand dollars from him. And he remembered, wow, this guy promised me that he'd pay me before the end of the year. And now we're in April and he still hasn't paid. He said, dude, you were supposed to pay me back 3 months ago, 4 months ago. Where's the money? And the guy's like, oh, dude, I'm working on it. I've got some stuff up for sale on Facebook Marketplace, and I think any moment I'm going to have the money you need to pay you back for what you let me borrow last year. And The guy said, no, I want my money now. You owed it to me. You should have had it here. You knew how much time you had. You did this in good faith. You broke the contract. So you know what? Our contract clearly states that if you don't pay by the end of the year, then I get to take hold of all your possessions. I have a right to throw you in jail, into debtor's prison, to get you locked up, chained, until your debt is paid in full to me. That is my legal right, because you've broken our contract. I've even gone past the 90-day grace period. And so that's what he did. He had the guy arrested, had him locked up, had his possessions taken. Now, there are some witnesses to this event, some witnesses who worked for the king, and they were appalled at what they had just seen. Could this be the same guy that was just forgiven of $1 million debt that he was throwing other people in prison for just a few thousand dollars? Where's the grace? Where's the mercy in that? And those witnesses went to the king. They reported everything they had seen and everything they had heard. The king was furious. The king could not believe this. And he demanded that this guy be brought back to him. He was thrown down on the ground in front of him and said, is this true? Did you really throw someone in jail because they didn't pay their debt to you? Is this right? After I've just forgiven you of a huge debt that you would never have been able to pay off. And the guy said, yeah, I did. The king said, then you know what? You're no longer forgiven of your $1 million debt. You owe that in interest, and you're going to be chained up, locked up, until it's paid in full. Get him out of my sight. Jesus is the one who shared this story to describe what forgiveness is about, and he ends the story with saying, if you don't forgive, then God will not forgive you. He was making a point about forgiveness. You see, he was asking this question about should I forgive, but instead he finds out that he's expected to forgive because of the huge debt that he's been forgiven of. You see, we take a viewpoint of forgiveness and say, I'm the judge now. I need to see if you're worthy of my forgiveness. Are you really sorry? Are you really planning to not do it again? And if I see your sincerity and if I believe you somehow, then I will bestow upon you my forgiveness. And Jesus is saying that's not how it works. But rather, because you have been forgiven, then you should forgive. That's it. We have been forgiven of everything we've ever done. When we turn from sin and we turn to God, we have been forgiven of the greatest debt that there could ever be, because we are born with a debt that says we are going to sin, we're going to mess up, and the wages of our sin is death. And that means being apart from God forever. It's what every human is going to face if you're born on this planet and you're related to Adam and Eve. But there's a way. See, somebody still has to pay. And when God sent Jesus, he paid the price for you. Someone had to pay with their life. And because God did not leave him dead, but God brought him back to life, it's now possible for us to receive something we don't deserve, but we really need. We need grace, and we need mercy. And when we accept Jesus as the new main character into our life, we say, God, you're in control now. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to follow you. You are forgiven of the greatest debt that could ever be, because Jesus paid it all. That's why we sing it. Jesus paid it all. It's like your contract, your debt has been ripped up. It's done. It's done. The millions and millions you owe that you could never pay back, it's done. It's forgiven. And so God, as he's doing that to us, and we go about our business, say, oh, we're the judge and jury, and we're deciding whether or not we're doling out forgiveness, we really have no right to. Jesus, by the story, is saying that because of the huge debt that we've been forgiven, we are expected to give. to forgive. And it has nothing to do with what the person did to you, and has everything to do with your relationship with God. That if you have a relationship with God, you forgive quickly and thoroughly, as fast as you can, because, hey, you do not want to be in a spot where God says, wait a second, I've forgiven you of everything, and you can't forgive somebody of something? Let's take that contract back and put it back in place. Peter was asking about forgiveness, and he was expecting to be justified in desire to unforgive, but instead he finds out that there is a price to pay for not forgiving or not giving out your forgiveness. Jesus ended the story saying, just like in this story, if you don't forgive somebody, then I promise you that God will take back his forgiveness that he's given you. But this is how it works. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, in the Message translation, it says this: forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. So, the change of forgiveness. We think we have the right to put it on somebody, and our job is to quickly take it off them. When we receive forgiveness, it's not our job to hold on to that chain and wrap it around like a robe, but to experience true freedom that comes from Jesus. You see, Jesus is all about second chances. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm really thankful for second chances. We need second chances and third chances and fourth chances and five chances. We need them on and on because, hey, how's the cycle go? It's going to find a way. We're either going to be in a spot where we need forgiveness, or we're going to be in a spot where we need to forgive someone else. And this whole idea of forgiveness and what it could be like in a God-centric way is really kind of a foreign concept to us. It's not in our nature to think about it this way. But I have proof today that it actually works. I have proof today that forgiveness can transcend however bad the offense could be. And I have proof today that it's possible to forgive yourself of something that is unforgivable. You say, Pastor, how do you have proof? Because I have a story of somebody in the here and now that has proof that this God thing is real because they've experienced forgiveness that they did not deserve. And in that process, they found God. And God forgave them. And in that process, they were able to forgive themselves. And so, without further ado, I invite you to watch with me Jesse's story.
Hi, my name's Jesse. I've been attending Focus Church for a little over a year, and this is my story. You may have noticed that I'm pretty happy. Some people have asked me, have you always been this happy? The answer? No. 9 years ago, I went out drinking with some Army buddies before a deployment. We made all the right plans to not drink and drive, and we proceeded to get blackout drunk. I woke up in the hospital. I had no idea what went on. I started asking questions, and people started filling in the blanks. Turns out, I killed a 21-year-old woman named Jennifer. I don't remember doing it. I had no intention to do it, but it still happened. I went through a period of darkness that's indescribable. I ended up in court 6 months later. I pled guilty, and I was able to see her family for the first time. I listened to their statements, what, all the great things they had to say about her and what I took away and how I can never replace it. And at the end of their letters that they read, they told me they forgave me. My mind was blown. I had no idea what was going on at the time. I had grown up with God, and I knew God, and I knew of God's forgiveness, but I had never really practiced it. I kind of did my own thing and ignored him for a while. So they cuffed me up and sent me off to prison. And on the second day, I picked up a Bible and I started reading it. And I learned a lot about forgiveness. But I was still having trouble forgiving myself. And at this time, the family was writing me letters. And in their letters, they would tell me what they were up to. And at the end of these letters, they would say they forgave me. And I didn't understand how they could forgive me when I couldn't forgive myself. We eventually met, and they told me stories of Jennifer, showed me pictures, albums. They incorporated me into their lives. We got up, we hugged when it was time to end, and they said they forgave me. And they started telling me that they were forgiving me, not for my benefit, but for their benefit. The more I came to God and Jesus, the more I started understanding. They were living by His example. After about 2 years in prison, there was a point where I started to feel more happiness than sadness on a day-to-day basis. Pretty soon, this turned into an outright joy. I would walk down the hallways and people would ask me, "Why are you so happy?" I would say, "Well, because of God, because of Jesus. That's just the way I am now." One day, the pastor at the local church prison walked by and asked me what was going on. I shared my story, and he asked me if I'd ever been baptized. He had explained what it was about, and I said, "You know what, I'm in." 2 days later, I was being dunked in a cold cow trough full of water. I remember freezing and being around a bunch of inmates, and they were smiling and praising God. It was one of the most wonderful experiences in my life. And I knew then God had me. I was released from prison about a year and a half ago. And my first Christmas out, the victim's mother, Patty, came to decorate Christmas cookies with me. When she left, she got up, she gave me a hug, and she said, even though she lost a daughter, she feels like she gained a son. What would I say to someone who needs to forgive? It's not about what that other person did to you. It's about God forgiving you what you've done to Him. God's grace is so amazing. We shouldn't hold that from anybody. And the same thing, what would I tell someone who needs to forgive themselves? Turn to God. I really don't know. I don't know how to forgive myself. I just kept pursuing God and listening to Him, and He repaid me with joy. Now I live my life with a joy I can't describe to most people. I'm grateful for God's forgiveness, for the family's forgiveness. I'm forgiving myself.
My name's Jesse, and I love my church, and that includes each and every one of you.
I don't know about you, but I hear the story about that victim's mom constantly reaching out and showing Jesse what forgiveness really looks like. And when I hear that part, I don't know about you, but when she said, "I may have lost a daughter, but now I've gained a son," it hits me here. Because this is what it's supposed to look like. Some of you guys are probably nodding your head if you know Jesse at all and say, "Yeah, he just seems to be happy all the time." And what you're seeing is a guy who has experienced forgiveness. Forgiveness from someone. Forgiveness from God. And coming to the point to be able to forgive himself. Freedom is possible. We started off asking the question, is it possible to escape from the chains of unforgiveness? And the answer is resounding yes. You can be forgiven by God if you have not made that decision to say, God, I'm yours, like Jesse made that decision. And today can be the day that you make that decision. Say, God, I'm sorry. And the Bible describes that when we say our sorry, we ask for forgiveness, that he is faithful and he's just. He will forgive us of our sins. We can experience new life and we can experience a joy that we can't even describe or explain. Today can also be the day that if you're one of those people who have found it really hard to forgive somebody, and you've been holding it over their head, and you just felt like, they don't deserve it, so I can't give it. Jesus today is presenting a different viewpoint, saying it's not about them at all. It's about you and me. And because God has forgiven you, that makes it possible, and that actually makes it what's required is to forgive just as you have been forgiven. And if you're somebody who is dealing with the weight of you've been given forgiveness for what you've done, but you still carry the guilt and the shame, and you keep on trying to grab those chains and put them back on you, this is what you deserve. Today's the day to not pick it up again. Today there can be freedom. So I invite you to bow your heads right now. Close your eyes. God, thank you so much for making it possible to be forgiven. And for setting the standard and the example as how we're supposed to forgive. And thanks for also sharing with us in your word, Peter's frustration. That cycle. We all have somebody like that in our lives. We feel like we shouldn't forgive them anymore. But God, we pray and we ask you even right now, Lord, that you would do a work in our hearts and lives. Lord, that if there's people here today who need to forgive, Lord, I pray that you put it so strong in their heart, Lord, that they can't even finish this day without doing something about that. God, if there's somebody who's been grabbing those chains and wearing them daily as their own personal sacrifice, God, I pray that they would see the light today and see that is not their responsibility, that when we are free, you have made us free indeed. That when we have been forgiven, that is it. We move on and we forgive as freely and as quickly and as thoroughly as you've forgiven us. But God, we recognize today that there may be people here who would say that I haven't started asking forgiveness from God for how I've lived my life and for what I've done. And maybe you were like Jesse and you could relate to him saying that I know about God and I love God, I just don't listen to him and I just don't follow him. And what you have there is a situation where you're still the main character of your life story and you haven't released your life over to God and say, God, you take the seat. You be the driver. Because all I do is mess this up. And if you would say today, Pastor, I need God's help. I need to know God. I need his forgiveness. I need to put him in charge of my life. Then I invite you right now. Let me know by just raising your hand right now. Let me pray with you. So we're going to pray, and we're going to pray all together. I'd like you to pray repeating after me. It's probably the most important decision, prayer you could ever pray or ask. Say, dear God, I'm sorry. I need your forgiveness. I need you in charge of my life. I believe you sent your son to pay the price for me. I want you to be the main character of my life story. I give you my life. In Jesus' name.